How does Jesus define the Christian's identity? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Confessing Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org. Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. It is probably the most popular claim made vis-a-vis Christianity's truth claims. Strikes at the very heart of who Christ is, and for many who don't bother to read what Jesus actually taught, it sounds very plausible. Jesus was just a great teacher. He wasn't God. Maybe they'll extend it with a footnote saying he never claimed to be God. Is that true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time for the conclusion of our series on Christian apologetics, defending Christian truth claims. Today we'll take up that claim that Jesus was just a good teacher, but not God. Dr. Nancy Almodovar joins us. She's professor of world religions and apologetics at Park University. She's author of several books, including Nothing Else Matters, They Were Eyewitnesses, and Creedal Apologetics. Nancy, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Why do you think that this claim that Jesus was just a great teacher and not God, why do you think it's so popular?
It's so popular because if you can remove the fact that Jesus is God, you can remove the fact that you really have to listen to all of his claims. So when you say he is just a good teacher, then you can kind of take or leave some of those teachings. But the moment you do that, you've left out who Jesus himself claims to be.
Do those who make this claim actually know what Jesus taught?
Sadly, in my experience in talking with my students and other people, even those who claim to be Christians, they don't seem to have read the Bible to know what Jesus has actually taught and what he's claimed. He has claimed deity, but he has taught that we are to be perfect in every way. Just, I think of those who elevate the Beatitudes and they say, that's how we should live. They never read the ending part when Jesus says, okay, here's the teaching, how you should live. Now your life and your righteousness needs to even be better than that of the Pharisees. So they're not making this connection of God demands perfection, and that's what Jesus teaches. Rather, they tend to focus on the love that he teaches. Be good to your neighbor, be kind, be generous, be gracious. And yet we don't do that either. So there's this real disconnect with what the Bible actually says and what they think the Bible says.
So how is this claim, Jesus is just a good teacher and not God, how is it ultimately self-refuting?
Because it comes down to that word just, all right? Was he just a good teacher? Jesus was just a good teacher. He was not God. Meaning, let's remove that deity factor. So we admit Jesus is a great teacher. He's the best teacher ever. And there are other religions that uphold Jesus as a great teacher. But when it comes down to being a good teacher or even a great teacher, you have to look at the other teachings. You have to look at the whole. You can't just pick this part of it, and I'm going to not pick the deity part. I'm going to take the love part, the be kind to your neighbor part, but I'm not going to take any of the other claims that Jesus taught about himself. That we're not going to have. We're just going to have him as a good moral example and a moral teacher.
Did Jesus claim explicitly to be God?
Yes. He did so in such a way that his enemies got it. They understood he was claiming to be God. So let's go through a few of those. We have John 10:30, where he says, I and the Father are one. Well, he's claiming equality with God. No good Jewish teacher would ever do that. So there goes one. Further in the chapter, 10:38 says that even though you don't believe me, believe the works that you know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, there is direct corollary that he is co-equal with the Father. Then in John 8:58, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. There's two things in that text. One, he's using the very name of God, I am. And two, he's saying, I lived before Abraham. I existed before Abraham. So there's that eternality of himself. And then Mark 2, where the friends are bringing their crippled friend and they bust through the roof and they bring him down to Jesus for healing. And what does Jesus do? I forgive you of your sins. Oh man, he just blew the leaders' minds because no one can forgive sins except God. So there he's claiming, I am God. I have the power to forgive sins. And then the Jews respond later in chapter 10 of John, hey, it's not for any of the good works you're doing. It's for blasphemy because you, being a man, are making yourself God. So throughout the Gospels, we read of Jesus's claim that he is co-equal, co-eternal with God. He can forgive sins. He can raise the dead. He can do all these things, and he teaches these things as well. And the Jewish leaders got it. The disciples, they were a little slow, but aren't we all?
Was Jesus a great teacher?
Yes, if we believe the whole of his teaching. If we just go that he was just a good teacher and not God, we end up where C.S. Lewis said, we have three positions that we have to take. One, he was a liar and he knew himself to be a liar or self-deceived. Two, he was a lunatic. I think he says on the level of a poached egg. Or three, he actually is Lord. So if we remove that he is God, we're left just with liar or lunatic. And in that sense, no, not a great teacher. But if we add in the whole claim of Jesus, then yes, he was the best teacher. He is the Word in the flesh. So yes, he is a great teacher.
There are those who have put forth the idea that Jesus himself never claimed to be God, but this was all written back into the accounts of his life by his disciples or by later generations of Christians. What do you make of that particular theory?
Well, anything to oppose the deity of Jesus, right? So they're going to want to make excuses. But these books, the Gospels, were written in the time frame of one generation since Jesus came. It is the generation who was with him who were writing these things and who taught these things. John, in his Gospel, emphasizes the deity of Jesus. He gives us creation miracles. He gives us recreation miracles. He gives us resurrections. All of these disciples of Jesus or friends of disciples like Luke, they were all there. And they're writing to people who were there as well. Could have easily been refuted in that very first generation. The Jewish leaders themselves could have openly refuted it because they were alive at the same time. So this idea, oh, it was added in, we went through the New Testament documents. There's way too much evidence within itself to show, no, this was not added some three, four, or five generations later. This is the eyewitness account of those who actually experienced and heard these things face to face with Jesus.
Somebody might say, well, what if Jesus, kind of playing off that notion of liar, what if he was simply self-deceived here and that, you know, his other teachings were fine, he just so happened to think that he was God, mistakenly think he was God?
Well, that would put him in the class of a lunatic, a crazy person. I remember my parents would kind of put me behind them to protect me if we passed by a crazy person on the streets of New York City. And so we protect ourselves from those who make extravagant claims. Now, here he is saying, I can forgive your sins. I will raise you from the dead. I'll raise myself from the dead, and I am equal with God. That's the type of person, if you see them on the street corner saying those things, you cross the street and go the other way. We tend to stay away from someone who is an out-and-out lunatic. But if he's self-deceived, what else is he teaching that is deceptive? You really then have to look at, again, have to look at the whole of his teaching. And if, let's say he's not even self-deceived, right? That's another option, that he knew himself to be a liar. Nobody listens to a pathological liar. No one believes anything they say because they just keep lying. So either he's self-deceived and a crazy person, or he's not self-deceived and he's deceiving on purpose. Either way, we're not going to count him a good teacher because no one can trust anything he teaches then.
By dribs and drabs, his disciples come to understand that he is in fact God. And by the time we get to the end of it, we have Thomas openly declaring in John's gospel, my Lord and my God. How significant is it that Jesus does not correct his disciple on that point?
Because we are told we are to worship God and him alone. We are told in Isaiah, there are no other gods before him, right? So for Jesus to take that worship that belongs to God alone lets us know directly he is God. He's receiving this worship from Thomas. Later, he receives it from the rest of the disciples, and he doesn't reject it. He's the risen Savior. He is God the Lord. He is God the Son, and he's receiving that worship knowing these are young, middle-aged Jewish men who had been taught their entire life, there is no God but the Lord, and you shall have no other gods before me. They were following the commandments, and yet here is Jesus. Yes, I am your God. I am your Lord. I am, and there it goes, the I am, the very name of God. So him receiving it from Thomas and others tells us that he is so much more than just a good moral teacher. He is the Lord our God.
If Jesus was just a teacher, then how should we regard him?
Can regard him as a crazy person, simply because you cannot separate all of his claims. You can't treat the New Testament like a smorgasbord and say, well, I have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's the whole teaching of Jesus and his teachings about God, about salvation, about the forgiveness of sins, about holiness of life, are wrapped up in the fact that he is God alone, and it's his authority on those teachings. So the moment you take out his deity, you can pick or choose anything you want. And the sad thing is, most people don't realize, like, the teachings of loving your neighbor. That's almost across the board in most religions. So why bother then with even looking at what Jesus is teaching? We look at it, we pay attention, we listen to it, we obey it because his teachings on who he is and what he's done. And because of that, we look at Jesus as the greatest teacher.
Dr. Nancy Almodovar is professor of world religions and apologetics at Park University. She's author of several books, including Nothing Else Matters, They Were Eyewitnesses, and Creedal Apologetics. Dr. Almodovar, thank you very much for the interview, and thank you for the series.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
When we come back, it's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Our series is Paths to Lutheranism. We'll talk about going from Baptist to Lutheran with Dr. Mark Seifried of Concordia Seminary next. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the boards of regents at our Concordia universities and seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
When pastors talk about us, they say ad crucem. When laity mention us, they say ad crucem. When telemarketers call us, they say ADC Rucam. But a Luther Rose by any name will smell as sweet. Ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards and artwork, jewelry and ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
The vast array of Christian denominations can seem overwhelming. Well, if you've ever wondered what other church bodies teach, the Lutheran Witness is here to help. In the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, we take up and study 11 other Christian denominations, a brief survey of their history, key teachings, confessional documents, and then compare that with Lutheran doctrine. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more, or visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.